You got to make the morning last, just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Oh, good morning, Reading. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460. Oh, boy, it's a big holiday weekend. In fact, I've read that this is the weekend we eat more hot dogs than any other weekend. So, you know, welcome to Positively Healthy. We're going to talk about food today. And in fact, you know, we're going to answer some questions that a lot of listeners have had, and I've been asked several times if we could have a show that talked about food in a way where we could come up with some cooking techniques. I don't really want to call it a cooking show because it immediately sounds scary, but some techniques that can make getting real whole food on the table in a way that is sort of fast, convenient, and delicious. And so we have two guests in the studio today. We have John Miller, who is a chef and massage therapist here in Reading. Welcome, John.
Hello.
Hello. And we have Mark Beecham, Record Searchlight Golden Boy columnist. And if you ever read the restaurant reviews, Mark writes those restaurant reviews. Welcome, Mark.
Hi, Trudy.
Good morning. Well, you know, we have kind of a little bit of a love of eating out in our culture, and a love of maybe larger portions, and let's say maybe even we've been brainwashed into thinking that it's a little bit difficult to cook at home. Would you both agree with that? Or
absolutely. I think we've been brainwashed to think that cooking at home is expensive, inconvenient, time-consuming, and hard. And it doesn't have to be any of those things
at
all.
What do you think, John?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Plus, it's people are so busy nowadays, it's hard to do.
And then, I know John was saying earlier that in his family especially, I mean, everybody's going a different direction, so meals have to be looked at in a way where there's something that someone can come into the kitchen, grab their meal, and head on out the door. And so that's even a new way of looking at things that maybe we haven't thought of before. Often, you know, we always think of going back to how something used to be, but I think that we're actually heading into territory where we need real whole foods cooked at home, but in a little different way.
Well, big food, big agriculture has come up with a solution, and that is prepackaged food that you can put in the microwave, which is very expensive, not as expensive as going out perhaps, but very expensive, very wasteful on the environment, and not as healthy or satisfying as making things in advance for the week that you could have in the fridge that the family could come in and either heat on the stove or in the oven or in the microwave. And I'm sure John could talk about that, making food in advance, whether it's chili or a chicken or whatever.
Excellent. Well, you know, we're going to take a quick break here, and somewhere cooking from scratch became scratch open the box, and we're just going to try to change that a little bit today. So you're listening to Positively Healthy. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt. Don't go away.
Hi, this is Carl Hawkins.
Welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR. Well, producer Jim, what kind of weather are we going to have this weekend?
Warm and windy. In fact, you might call it hot. Today we're looking for a high of about 96 degrees, and the winds out of the north, big story, being like 20-mile-an-hour winds. So be especially aware of that when you think of fire danger, because winds like this can really kick things up. It's going to be hot for the 4th. Hot 4th of July weekend, about 100 degrees tomorrow, and that's pretty much the story for the rest of the week, about 100 degrees, which is pretty much normal for this time of year.
Okay, and then I guess if you're barbecuing, then, you know, lots of wind. I guess maybe don't put your barbecue right directly in front of the picnic table?
Don't take it out in the field next to your house.
Don't take it out in the field.
With the dry grass. and don't forget, and we say this every year, try to remind people, in Shasta County, no fireworks are allowed outside of the scheduled public displays. So even if it's safe and sane fireworks, in fact, we saw the incident, I don't know if you caught it caught the video, but Jeff Granberry, Reading Fire Department, was doing a demonstration like they do every year of, this is the danger of these items, you know, for causing fires. And one of them actually backfired and hit him in the face. So
It
was unintentional, but it really showed that, hey, this stuff is not a toy, nothing to play with.
That drives the point home.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Okay, that helps the listeners plan ahead a little. Next week we'll have Dr. Doug Craig substituting for me. He's a Reading psychologist, and he'll be having his own show starting on Sundays here on KCNR 1460, and that'll be, I believe that's going to be at 10 a.m. I want to get back to our guests. I want to start with you, John. I know that you were telling me that about a study and an experience you had quite a while ago working with mental health patients.
Back when Shasta General had a program, they found that a lot of the people who were on disability were spending all of their money at Burger King and other fast food places, and it wasn't very nutritious, obviously, and a lot of the people were very unhealthy physically to begin with. So I came in there, and we kicked around some ideas, and I came up with a little bit of a plan, which I still use today, about 30 years later, with my own family, where we always have things on hand. So, for instance, if you want to eat, you can go into the fridge, and I'll be talking at length about this in a little while, where you can just grab some ready-made salad mix, which is a restaurant term, so to speak, and put it on the plate, throw a couple things on that, and sit down, and you're eating. Or rice, I will show you how to, or tell you, it's not television, show you how to prepare rice in such a way, and I usually use brown rice because it's more nutritious, where you can put it in the refrigerator and preserve it for a while, and it's always on hand, and you can do the same with pasta and several sauces that I'm going to talk about.
Oh, I love it. Okay, so where do you want to start?
Well, salad is a good place to start. I don't use iceberg lettuce anymore. I know a lot of people really love it, but try to change, because it there's just so many things about it that make it worth, you know, if you don't like it, suffering a little bit till you get used to it. You just wash it like you normally would, which means soaking it in some water, putting it in a dish drainer to let it drain, shaking it out after about an hour, and then you can actually store that in one of those plastic bags that everybody throws away.
Like a Ziploc, or
no,
what are you
no,
thinking?
No, just a plastic grocery bag.
Oh, okay.
That you know, and don't make it tight. Just leave it sort of a little bit open. And if you don't have a large stainless steel bowl, sort of measure what's a large thing that can fit in your fridge, like about a 12-inch diameter or maybe even more, because this method of preserving the salad mix you want to like have enough for about 4 or 5 days.
So this is a technique that you're going to teach people.
I learned this working in the restaurant industry for many years. When you shred carrots and chop some red cabbage, mix it with either spinach greens, any kind of lettuce that you really like, other than iceberg, like I said, and then you can chop the lettuce into bite-sized pieces, put this together, and scruff it up a little bit with your fingers or a utensil, and put a wet towel, not sopping wet, just wring it out and have it be damp, and you can put it in the refrigerator. And a lot of restaurants, that's how they have their salad ready for the evening for people. You know, they just grab a handful, put it on a plate, maybe put some tomato, cucumber, whatever if you like on salads, and we end up using things like raisins, nuts. In other words, you want to get as much nutrition out of every meal as quickly and simply as possible. And hard-boiled eggs can be an option, various cheeses, and cold meats, which I'll get into later, showing you how to cook a chicken, for instance, and use it for several different meals instead of like just, you know, having to cook it and use it all at once.
John, how long will that lettuce keep in the refrigerator with that towel on it?
Well, it's amazing. If you handle it properly, like I said, to rinse it, let it shake out, and then use the damp towel on top of it, for some reason, the cabbage and the carrots act as a preservative. I've actually had it last over a week, but since we have a family, this is when I lived alone, but with a family, we usually end up going through it in about 4 or 5 days.
Do you continue to bring dampen the towel? Or
If it gets dry.
Oh, okay.
You know, it probably will last. Every refrigerator is different. Some refrigerators pull moisture more than others. Just check it. Squeeze it and see if it's, you know, still got some dampness in it. But for some reason, the damp towel doesn't seal it off so that it'll go bad. If you seal it from the air, it still circulates, and it sort of like keeps it crisp and alive.
Oh wow, what a cool trick! You know, that's just one of those things that could really, really help people.
Yeah, whenever we want a salad, I swear you can just pull it out, put some on a plate, and within about 3 minutes you're sitting down to a meal. Like I say, I just keep bell peppers and cucumbers and zucchini in the vegetable section of the icebox, and it doesn't take much to just, you know, chop up a couple of chunks, throw it on there. And then with the salad, you have to come up with a good dressing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't suggest the commercial dressings simply because I don't think they're worth what they charge. And secondly, the ingredients in all but the most so-called organic ones oftentimes aren't really that good for you. And maybe in a later show or something like that, I'll go into a really simple, again, I keep using the term bulletproof dressing that lasts for ages.
Good, I
know.
You
know, and is also really good for you. Like I say, everything you eat, if you're in a rush during your busy week and you don't have time to make a gigantic meal, should, you know, you want to get more bang for your buck, so to speak.
Oh, good. Okay, well, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. We are going to come back with more fabulous ideas for you after this message. You're listening to KCNR 1460. Welcome back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt. You're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR. And in the studio today, we have John Miller, chef extraordinaire and local massage therapist, and Mark Beecham from the Record Searchlight, restaurant reviewer. And, you know, the focus of our show today is this is not a cooking show. So we're not really talking about cooking. We're talking about easy, very easy, easy techniques to help you get further along in trying to eat whole, real food. And the reason that I'm making fun of the fact that it's not a cooking show is that I just think that sounds scary. And so what we're trying to do today is to demystify eating healthy food. And both of these gentlemen have really great ideas as far as how to get healthy food into your system, into your family, in a way that is pretty just 1, 2, 3, ready to go, done. And so John was telling us about a very fast, easy way to make salad that lasts about 4 days. And then you were going to also talk about chicken.
Okay. The easiest way to make chicken without, you know, without getting involved in some gourmet technique is simply to put it in the oven. Now, if you buy, you can buy cut-up chicken if you don't know how to cut up a whole one, but you can do it both ways, either bake it whole or bake it in pieces. First, we'll talk about the pieces. You can, if you don't have a casserole dish, just at any food store in town, they sell glass casserole dishes like 9x11 or, you know, different sizes like that. That's about all you need for an average chicken. And you put the pieces in there, and perhaps we should talk how to handle... Are we talking like people who've never cooked?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know what? Most people under 40, they don't handle raw chicken, so it sounds...
Sounds
60
weird.
Minutes runs, you know.
Oh, okay. Well,
shows on how scary chicken is. So now we're afraid of chicken.
Okay, briefly, just get your oven at 350. Take the pieces and rinse them, and then pat them dry with a paper towel. Put some salt and pepper on them. Put them in the casserole dish. Sprinkle some olive oil on that, and then you can. There's a lot of different ways you can season that further. By putting breadcrumbs on top of that, and you know, just sticking with just the chicken itself, put that in the oven for approximately an hour or so. Go invest in a really inexpensive meat thermometer. It's really easy to do. You just stick it in the breast part, and that should be about 160, and the thigh and the leg about 175, and then you're done. The chicken's done.
Can you tell if chicken's done just by looking at it, or
not really? You know, because it's
is it
hard
against all the rules of cooking to just go in there with a knife and kind of flake into it and see if it like are
well,
there any?
You know, the minute you cut into chicken like that, all the juices run out, and then it'll get kind of. It actually, as it sits, it'll get chewier and tougher.
That might answer some of my
See, this
chicken.
Is these are recipes for something that's going to last. This chicken that I'm telling you about here, if I was going to do it for a restaurant, I would go through a lot more process for the finished product. This is something that anybody can do. It's doable. And in 4 or 5 days or so, handled properly, you'll be able to tear those pieces of chicken and put them in a salad. Tear them up and make a sandwich. Throw it into a stir fry, which we'll go into at a later date. A real simple way to, you know, have your veggies and have it be kind of tasty as well.
Okay, so recap how we're doing this chicken.
All right, so
what part is the safety part? Like, what do people need to to do?
The standard safety rule on chicken and fish and any other kind of fowl is you don't want to, like, let it sit out raw for an extended period of time when it's not at the temperature it was while it was in the refrigerator. So, but after chicken cooks, it has a much longer outside the refrigerator life. The trick is, that's the nice thing about cooking the chicken pieces, is it tends to cool quicker after it's cooked. And a lot of times I'll take it out of the casserole dish and put it on a clean plate. That's another thing to be careful about. Never put any kind of meat onto a plate that's had raw food on it, because it'll pick up that raw juice and impregnate it with all kinds of nasty stuff. So let's see, where was I? You put the chicken in the oven after you season it with just salt, pepper, garlic granules, some Italian seasoning, and I use a lot of Italian seasoning because it's so simple. The minute you start getting into rosemary, thyme, and some of the others, you have to be very careful of the amounts because it's very easy to overpower the dish. But just start out simple. Some restaurants in the old days had high ratings, and some of the chefs never used anything but salt, pepper, and garlic.
Wow.
And this is something I learned early in my career, which I didn't believe, but if done properly, it will flavor the food. Plus, if you remember, we're using that chicken not as a main dish, but it's going to be included in other things like a salad, a sandwich,
a quesadilla,
or a quesadilla. Thank you. That's one of my kids. That was one of their favorite things. So here we are. It's been in there for about an hour. And you can get these thermometers anywhere at any type Target or. You don't have to really get a fancy one, you know. You just want to be careful when you take the chicken out that it's about 160 for the breast and 175 for the other parts, because undercooked chicken can theoretically go bad. And so you bring it out of the oven, it's cooked. Now let it sit and cool on the counter. You don't want to take it and put it directly into the refrigerator. That's not, even though a lot of people think that's the way you do it, that's the rule is actually things should be at room temperature before they go into a refrigerator. That's better for the refrigerator, and the outside will chill while the inside is still warm, and that can create bacteria growth. With steak, fish, chicken, and even things like any kind of hot food. That's why you want to let it cool at its own, rate. Now, the next thing is, I don't know how people will feel about handling the chicken, but you basically want to pull the meat off the bones.
I think people can do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm
going to give them credit for that.
Okay, some people think that's really creepy. You can, they don't want to touch. No. Well,
my kids won't touch chicken.
Well, all right. But they, you do it a couple times and you'll get over it.
Okay.
But then you can put that meat on a plate, put it in the refrigerator for about an hour and a half or so, and then put it in a Ziploc bag. The reason you put it in the refrigerator open is so that you really know that it's getting chilled.
Okay.
Because once it gets to that temperature as quickly as possible, then that's the way it'll last a lot longer.
And part of your whole philosophy here is creating food that lasts a long time so you can continue to have these quick meals.
Right. So in 4 days, you can still have some chicken to throw again on a salad or in a stir fry.
Okay, lovely. Well, we're going to come back and talk to Mark Beecham about a couple of dishes that he has up his sleeve. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and we'll be back after these messages.
Today, most beef...
Welcome back. You're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460 Reading. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and our guest today, we have John Miller, extraordinary massage therapist and chef, giving us great hints here as far as how to make easy meals for the family. And we have Mark Beecham. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you, Trudy.
And then, now, you make a famous beef pot. What is it, like a crock pot, salsa? Why don't you tell us about your dish?
Well, it couldn't be easier, actually. I think the crock pot is one of the greatest inventions of the 20th century, probably, for people who don't know how to cook but like good food. You just buy a in-bone steak, throw it in the crock pot, dump a can of organic, preferably organic chili on it, turn it on low, and walk away for about a day. Walk away for 8 hours, I should say. And
that keeps it tender, too.
And the salsa that you, organic salsa, I get the stuff at Trader Joe's. It's tomatillo roasted yellow chili salsa. It's about, a little on the pricey side. I think it's about $2.50. You just dump that in, and then put. You can either put it on top of the meat, or I put it underneath the meat. Put the meat in there, put the top on, turn it on low, and go away for 8 hours, and come back, and you've got a wonderful piece of meat that you can then eat over several meals, lunch, dinner. It's more than enough for a dinner for four. I would say you could probably get 8 meals out of it. That's the meat that I buy down at Kent's Meats, Prather Ranch in-bone steak, is about $9 or $10. So it works out to be about $1.50 a serving. And if you bake some potatoes, that's probably another 30 cents each. And then you saute some squash or other vegetables in a salad, and you have a really fine meal for less than $2 a head.
So what you're saying then is you're taking this piece of meat, you're putting it in the crock pot. There it goes. I'm putting it in. Plunk. Okay.
Yeah, with a little salt and pepper.
Salt
and maybe
pepper,
some
garlic powder, kind of the big three. Okay.
Right.
Opening that can of salsa that you have in front of you, glurging it right on top, plugging it in, and walking away. Okay. What does it look like when you come back in 8 hours? Did it fall apart? Did it turn into kind of a shredded Mexican chicken? Is it still a big old chunk of meat? What is...
It is a beautifully cooked piece of meat. The bones have... fallen out of it, so the meat just falls down, and the bones, you just pick those up and throw them away, and you've got the meat that's cooked with the bones, as opposed to people cutting the meat off the bones, throwing the bones away. It's much more nutritious and tasty if you cook it with the bones in, and it just couldn't be simpler. And again, you've got something that you can put in the refrigerator, and as John says, after it's cooled, you can go back to it 3 or 4 or 5 days later, and you've got meals for the family, or if you've got guests coming over, it's really easy to reheat in the oven, you know, 350 for maybe 20 minutes in a little pot, and you're good to go. It's very
simple. I would guess there would be no reason why you couldn't, with our temperatures we're going into now, that you couldn't just plug the crock pot in the garage or maybe even outside, right?
Sure, but the crock pot doesn't generate as much heat, nearly as much heat as the oven does.
Okay. John, did you have something you wanted to add to that?
No, I was just thinking what a great idea it is for the meat. Cooking meat that way is really getting so much out of it compared to, like he was saying, just cutting it off the bone, throwing the bone away. And that used to be the way it was done years ago. They would put them on for the day, you know, slow cooking. Tenderizes, and it actually increases the flavor.
I can remember something else. When I was growing up, my mother always used to cook roasts, and roasts, I never really learned how to cook a roast, and roast was one of those pieces of meat at the supermarket that I'd pass over and think, gosh, what do you do with this exactly? And, you know, it's not hard. You buy a roast that's maybe 3 pounds. All you have to do is salt, pepper, a little bit of garlic, put it in a Pyrex dish. You figure it's about, I'm trying to think, it's about 40 minutes per pound. So if it's, you know, or 20 minutes per pound, I'm sorry, 20 minutes per pound. So 3 pounds is about an hour. You put it in there at 375. 375 is probably about the right temperature, and out it comes later, and it's really a wonderful piece of meat. And again, you can reheat it, or you can use it cold in a salad or sandwich or whatever, and it's enough for, you know, 10 servings probably. And here's a meat piece of meat that cost you $9, $10.
John?
I just thought of one of my favorite tricks with meat is, people buy hamburger, and they do something, and then they don't know what to do with the rest, or it sits around. And I talk to a lot of people, and it gets thrown away, which is really sad. Here's something you can do that's really simple. Get some of those really inexpensive sandwich bags, the ones that have a flip-over closure, you know, not a Ziploc or anything
Right,
like
right,
that.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know if that's the right term. And you can, like, if you go to a butcher, for instance, they always have deals on, like, a 5-pound bag. And this will only take you about 10 minutes, but it's really worth the 10 minutes. You can separate the raw hamburger into, just grab a handful of it and make a really crude ball. It takes you, you know, boom, boom, boom. Set it down and do that until you have them all laid out there. Put those balls into the sandwich bag, and then start smashing it with your hands, pressing it with your hand.
Oh, so you're making patties.
And it'll fill the corners of that sandwich bag in a square, flat square.
Okay.
Which you can stack in the freezer, and anytime you want hamburger, all you do is pull a couple of those out, and bingo, you've got, in other words, you don't have to worry about, you know, that's enough hamburger to last for a long time, you know. You can, and that'll also work for one of the recipes I'm going to go into. It's a meat sauce, a spaghetti meat sauce, and of course hamburgers and whatever else you use hamburger for.
Wow.
But it keeps it ready, fresh on hand, and really simple. The night before, you can throw it in the refrigerator and it'll thaw. Or you can, if you're going to be around in the kitchen for a while, you can leave it on the counter and thaw it. You know, it takes a couple hours, and you're ready to go.
So if you have a hamburger-eating family, you can then avoid the hormones, the antibiotics, all the pesticide residues by having burgers stacked up in the freezer ready to go. Well, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and we're going to take a little radio break here. We'll be right back after these messages.
There is no place like...
You got to well, and in order to keep you feeling groovy, we've got lots of different ideas for you today as far as food intake, nutrition. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy. If you've just joined us right now, we have John Miller, chef and massage therapist, in the studio today, and Mark Beecham, restaurant reviewer, and I'd have to say becoming quite the chef there himself. So, Mark, go ahead and tell us... You had some things you wanted to add to what we've been talking about.
Well, I know that John worked in the food industry a number of years ago, including fast food as well as other restaurants. And I'm just curious, given your perspective over the years, when did we become, as a nation, addicted to eating out and addicted to eating such huge portions?
Well, my feeling is I started in the restaurant business in the late 60s. And there are several factors here. Number one, raising the portions in a restaurant was a really basically a sales trick to try to entice people. You know, they go, oh my God, look how big the portions are. You know, it's really worth eating here. But simultaneously, it was obvious that everything was in the country. Supersize this, supersize that. I think there's even a drink you can get at 7-Eleven that's like, what, 32
yep.
ounces?
Yeah.
Which is, what is that, like about 40 teaspoons of sugar or something in one gulp? But I do have to say, one of the best places that I ever worked in terms of, in the restaurant industry, in terms of quality, was a place where they actually built part of the reputation on a large portion. And like, for instance, the breakfast was always a three-egg omelet. They had three pieces of toast instead of two. And a lot of people started, they would come there because they said, that's all the food I needed that day, except maybe, at night, maybe a little snack or, you know. But unfortunately, my thing that I'm against is all day eating fast food snacks. That's what I call them, like things that in little boxes and bags that you could, that are just all you do is open them and just start munching. And I think that's a huge addictive
like
thing.
Like what, cracker kind of things?
All or? Kinds of things like that. Not just candy, but it's if you notice the shelves, there's more of the shelf in the grocery store devoted to different types of chips and things like that. That
yeah.
A lot of them, they can be good, but most of them are just empty calories.
We brought something into the studio here. We picked up at Trader Joe's. Now, this is allegedly...
They're delicious, too. We use them at home.
They're allegedly... It's allegedly healthy. But this bag is 16 ounces, 1 pound of chips. And I dare say that the average, you know, football watching, golf watching group of guys, two or three of them, could go through this entire bag in the course of an afternoon. Now, if you look on the back, it says there are 16 servings in this bag, and each serving has 140 calories. So if two people consume this, that's 1,100 calories per person. And we don't this goes on all the time.
Well, in context, let's keep it where people, you know, they don't know how many calories they're supposed to have a day. It's somewhere between 1,800 and 2,800, depending on how active you are. So if you just had 1,100 during the football game, you know, then wow, and they were empty calories, it's going to be really hard to maintain weight. And so somewhere nobody really, you can look at that, but if you don't know how many calories you're aiming for, that's just sort of a funny little floating fact. John, what were you going to say?
I was going to say those actually are, as chips go, that's a good product. For kids, it's a good way with just chips on a plate. With you can sprinkle that chicken that I told you about, or just hamburger chunks of hamburger patty that you cook and chop up, and then pour some sort of salsa on it and grated cheese, put it under the broiler in your oven, and you've got nachos. You know, a little bit of sour cream, and if you know how to make guacamole, which we'll go into at a later date, that's actually a whole meal. But I understand what Mark is saying. People do, and I hate to admit I've overeaten chips. It just becomes, you're sort of like in a dream world. You're just sitting there, you know, taking them.
Oh, we've all overeaten chips. That's yeah that's fine.
Do you have any potato chips?
Yeah. Okay. Let's start crunching in here. Yeah. It's more of an idea of when did it become normal, or when did that become a single serving? You know, so somewhere there's just this funny thing that happened to this sort of constant eating all day thing. And I don't necessarily remember that being any part of my childhood, and I don't know. It seems like we're marketed to graze all day long now.
I'm just astonished. I mean, I think, you know, growing up, as you did, John, in the 60s, in 1968, if someone had shown me a foot-long Subway sandwich in 1968 and said, this is what you're going to be eating in 40 years, we would have thought, what freaking planet are you on?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. A foot-long Subway sandwich or a Jumbo Jack, today's equivalent of a Jumbo Jack hamburger is, these portions would have been astonishingly large in the context of the 1960s. You would have probably thought, well, I could split that with my girlfriend or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You were getting used to, you were having a Jeans burger or a Dam burger down around the corner here, which was basically a very thin patty of meat and some relish and a small bun. That's what people were used to.
You know, one of the things I find interesting is the fact that not only are we eating more, but if you don't have any concept of calories, the calories that you're getting in any of these burgers or the Jumbo Jack equivalent that we have today, you're getting a day's worth of calories, but there wasn't much nutrition. So, of course, you're going to be hungry soon. And so, you know, you're absolutely forced to go ahead and have another meal because your body needs the nutrients. And so, we're in a pickle, aren't we? Hey, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. We're going to take a radio break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy. If you're just joining us, we have John Miller, chef and massage therapist in the studio, and Mark Beecham, record Searchlight columnist and restaurant reviewer. And, you know, we're having a show today about food and trying to come up with really, really easy concepts to help people come up with foods that are real, wholesome, healthy for their family in a way that we can get our minds around. You know, somehow cooking is now hard and frustrating for people. And if you're listening to the show today and you're above a certain age, you're probably giggling at the show. It's like they're talking about how to use a crock pot, pot roast. I mean, who needs a recipe? And then there's probably a group of us who are still thinking that these are more challenging type recipes. And what we have, John has volunteered to write up what he's talked about today. And that's available if you want to call my office, or if you want to email me at tjpratt@charter.net. He would like to be able to allow you to have access to some of the ideas that he's mentioned here. So if you want to learn a little more about how to do that chicken, right? You wanted to share the chicken, and you wanted to, did you want to write out how to do the salad too?
Sure.
Okay, that would be great. And then Mark, do you want to write out how to do the crock pot meat?
Sure, I could do that.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, one way to really know something is to be able to have the recipe in your hand and look at it. And then also remember, too, this show is archived. So if you want to come back through, I think it takes 2 days to get up on the Internet. So you can always come back to kcnr1460.com, go to Positively Healthy, and then look up at the show archives, and you can come to today's date. Okay, so as we conclude here, we have several more minutes that we can explore two ideas. John, you wanted to talk about rice because you have a special way to do rice. And then, Mark, you have a morning oatmeal you want to talk about. So I want to come back. We also talked about the fact that people just eat a lot more. And I know that that's just going to be something we're going to have to work with. And part of educating people is getting nutrients in their body so they feel good, they feel satisfied, they feel positive. They aren't on a chemical ride from the chemicals in their food where they're anxious and depressed. They have nice sustained energy throughout the day because they've eaten real food. And a lot of the focus of this show is getting people to eat real food. And so when we look at the ingredients of any food, we do better if we can leave out all the words we can't pronounce and go with the words we've seen before because it's real food. And so one, you wanted to talk about rice and brown rice and how you make it. That's kind of a trick.
It's actually something I, again, learned working in restaurants. It'll be written up, as Trudy mentioned. You can, you know, through her sources, I'll have the instructions. I usually make about 2 cups at a time, and that would call for about 4 cups of water, a little bit of salt, and maybe I use butter. You can use oil, but I use about a tablespoon or so of butter. And you bring that to a boil and with a lid on it, and then you immediately turn it down probably as low as you can get the flame so that it simmers, and you time it. I always have to set a timer, otherwise I'll walk away and it'll get burnt. set a timer for about an hour, and do not lift the lid or touch it. Now, white rice is different. It cooks in about 20 minutes, and a lot of people stir it halfway. It's a different thing. Brown rice, you can't disturb it while it's cooking. Otherwise, it'll turn into just a big, gummy, sticky mess. Now, the important thing after that, and again, this is a little bit, you have to follow these instructions, because you'll find that it's worth it, because then the rice will preserve in the refrigerator for, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7. I've even used it in 8 days. It's still good. When it's done, leave the lid on for another 10 or 15 minutes, and then take the lid off. And now, if it's in a fairly dry, cool area of the kitchen, you can actually let the thing sit, believe it or not, overnight. And it'll, by then, it'll really be room temperature. And as I was telling Trudy earlier, the reason rice became such a staple in all those countries where it is simply because after it's cooked, it can stay for 5 or 6 days before it starts to go bad. That's in places, Asian areas where it's a lot more humid and warm than even Redding. The same is true, incidentally, for beans. That's why refried beans. And because they can actually begin to slightly, what we would call, spoil, and that's where they came in with the refrying them, because that would boil out that sort of odor that they get, and it would kill any of the bacteria, and they could be served, because those people didn't have any refrigeration. So that's a little side note. Now, back to the rice. You've now let it sit overnight or all day, and if you do put it in the refrigerator now, put it in there without the lid, and after a day or so, then you can put a lid on it, and anytime you want some rice, you just stick a spoon in there and warm it up, and later we'll have some more recipes, real simple things that you can do with that.
Wow, great.
And instead of having to cook the thing for an hour every time you want to eat,
right, that
you'll have...
How labor-saving is that?
Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful trick.
Oh, I love it. Now, Mark, tell us about the cereal you brought with you.
Okay, this is organic steel-cut oats from Trader Joe's. It's a, 30 ounces, and it's about $3, and there are lots and lots of servings in here. What I do is I take a quarter cup, soak it overnight in a cup of water, add some raisins, some almonds, a little bit of sucanat or brown sugar, and a pinch of cinnamon. Soak it overnight, and then I heat it up in the morning on the stovetop for about 3 or 4 minutes. And it's a wonderful breakfast cereal, and the total cost of the whole shebang is about 40 cents.
Okay, so that tells anybody at home that eating out in the morning is somehow less expensive than cooking at home. That sort of diffuses that myth. So even if you were to double the portion and have a great big bowl of cereal, you're still under a dollar.
Oh, well under a dollar.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. And then what else did you want to share with us?
Well, the other thing is a piece of toast with some peanut butter on it is about the same price, about 50 cents. And so you've got your kid's piece of toast, peanut butter, and a bowl of oatmeal for well less than a dollar.
Good way to start the day.
Yeah, I would think so, too. And so what I'm hoping, then, is that these ideas have helped people today. Some may feel obvious. Other ideas may be brand new. And we're going to have this information available. So if you want to email me through through the website, through KCNR, or through my email at tjpratt@charter.net, feel welcome to. And remember that Dr. Doug Craig, will be here next week. I will be gone, so we'll have live radio. And go have a fun weekend. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt. Thanks for listening to Positively Healthy.